Blog Talk Radio.
Praise be to God, everybody. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And good morning and welcome to the Apostle Speaks. My name is Evangelist Hilda, and I am the co-pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. Today, we have our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins. She is the elder of the House of Manessa Christian Ministries. She brings a word from God every Saturday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. So first, we would like to thank you for tuning in to the Apostle Speak. Praise be to God. My daily devotion for this morning is entitled, I Am Pleased With You, My Child. And my scripture reading for this message is coming from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9. And it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. not by works, so that no one can boast. Amen. Ephesians 3:16-19 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all fullness of God. Amen. And my third scripture reading is coming from Psalm 62:8, and it says, trust in him at all times, O people, pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Again, the title, I am pleased with you, my child. Allow yourself to become full aware of my pleasures shining upon you. You don't have to perform well in order to receive my love. In fact, a performance focus will pull you away from me toward some sort of feralism. This can be a subtle form of idolatry, worshiping your own good works. It can also be a source of deep discouragement when your works don't measure up to your expectations. It's from your performance to my radiant presence. The light of my love shines on you continually, regardless of your feelings or behavior. Your responsibility is to be receptive to this unconditional love. Thankfulness and trust are your primary receptors. Thank me for everything. Trust in me at all times. These simple disciplines will keep you open to my loving presence. I pray that this devotional message was a blessing to you as it is to me. Let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision, and I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all 9 of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary. We never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Praise God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come.
Praise be to God. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. For the Bible says in Romans 10, 14 through 15, in the New King James Version, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who brings glad tidings of good things. At this time, our very own Apostle Mother Wiggins is going to come and bless our hearts this morning with a mighty word from God. And also, I want to say that unfortunately, Pastor Kathy will not be with us this morning with our talk in the sanctuary. Amen. So we're going to welcome Apostle Mother Wiggins with a hand clap praise. God bless you, Apostle Mother Wiggins. How are you this morning?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you this morning, Evangelist Hilda?
Blessed, thank you. Praise God.
Amen. Isn't it a beautiful day?
Yes, absolutely.
Amen. Praise God. I just thank God for letting us see another beautiful day, another day. Amen.
Absolutely.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I'm just so thankful that God never slumbers nor sleep. Amen. He watches over us while we sleep.
Yes.
Amen. And he guides us throughout each and every day. Amen. No matter how we feel, we're guided.
Yes.
God guides us. Amen. So I just want to say good morning to our radio listeners out there. We're so glad to have you on board today. And we just thank God for you. We thank God that you, that God have steered you in this direction, amen, of HMC
amen.
Ministries.
Yeah.
We hope that all is well with you and your family. Amen. And
amen.
I just want to let you know that our visionary, Apostle Wiggins, and his lovely wife, Lady Nadine, they send you their greetings. Amen. And their love.
Yes.
And they hope that all is well with you, and they're praying for you. Amen.
Praise God.
And I also want to talk about Evangelist Hilda. Amen. Because she opens up this program from Tuesday to Saturday. Amen. And she's so faithful in what she does. Amen. And so we want to recognize Evangelist Hilda, and she comes with Sweet Hour of Prayer from Tuesday to Friday, and she also brings a sermon. It could be on Thursday and Friday. She brings a sermon. Amen. And also, I don't know if I'll... First Lady is giving lessons right now. I'm not sure of that.
Yes, she gives but on Wednesdays.
On Wednesday, our First Lady.
Yes,
well, she
Barbara
gives lessons
on
Wednesday, and Sister Barbara gives lessons on Tuesday. Amen.
Amen.
We just thank God for Sister Barbara.
Yes.
And she's going to be on right after this program with some beautiful poetry, inspired poetry. Amen. Just like the inspired word of God, she brings inspired poetry of God. Amen. So we're going to looking forward to her poetry later on. And I don't know, I guess we'll find out what we're going to do for Talking Sanctuary today.
Amen.
But we're really going to miss Pastor Kathy and her husband. We're going to miss them. Amen. But we're looking forward to seeing them next week. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we hope that all is well with Pastor Kathy and her husband. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And also, we want to give a shout out to Apostle Jackson, Dr. V. Turner, and Prophetess Washington. We want to give a shout out to them. We hope that all is well with their family and their congregations. Amen. So we just want to give a shout out to them because they've been such a blessing to this ministry. And we thank God for them. Amen.
Amen.
We thank God for them. So right now, you know what I'm going to do. I'm going to give a shout out to Ahaya, the Most High God. Amen.
God.
Because
praise
if it wasn't
God.
For him, we would not have this program right now. Amen.
Amen.
He's the one that has steered us in this direction. He's the one who have called us. We are sent by Ahaya. Amen. We are sent. We didn't do this by ourselves. Amen. We got to this point by him.
Amen.
And by Yeshua. We got to this point. Amen. We didn't come by ourselves because we had no idea that we would be here at this point. And I know
that's
there's a
right.
lot of you out there that have the same experience. You had no idea that you would get to the point where Ahaya would bring you to.
Amen.
His name is, I love that name, Ahaya, because it's a high-up name. It sounds so high. He's
yes.
high up. He's high and lifted up. You know, he's above all other gods. There's nobody like, no spirit like him, because he's a spirit being, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And that's what we do. On this program, we worship him in spirit and in truth. He's the God of absolute truth. He never lies. He's the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and always. His ways are past finding out. So we want to, as I say this prayer to Ahaya, we're going to bow our heads wherever you are, all over the earth. Whoever's hearing my voice, the four corners of the earth, wherever you are, we're going to say this name to Ahaya. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to say this this prayer to Ahaya. And then after that, I will sing a song to Ahaya. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Father God, Most High, we give you the highest praise, for you are worthy of all honor and glory. We glorify you and magnify you. May we love you always. May we walk with you in the secret place. May we put you first and foremost in our lives.
Yes.
May we obey you and remember all that you've done for us. May we learn who you are and never forget the power of your might. May we continually focus our eyes on you and reverence your holy name. May we always be led by your spirit and not by the flesh. May we always maintain intimacy and a personal relationship with you. Father God, Most High, may we not forget the unconditional love that you have for us. And even though some of us do not return your love or believe that you exist, you reign on the just as well as the unjust. And you are no respecter of persons. Thank you for Yeshua and his shed blood We thank you for the Holy Spirit, your finger, the divine teacher. She is your wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. She is your breath, the consuming fire. We thank you for her, Father. In the mighty name of Yeshua, amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God. So right now I'm going to sing a couple of songs. Amen. One of them I'm going to sing to Ahaya. Amen. Praise God. Ahaya, 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 Ahaya. You are God, the God of creation. We are your people, a holy nation. You're higher than any mountain, wider than any ocean, deeper than any valley. You're higher than any mountain, wider than any sea, deeper than any valley. Your name is Ahaya, the God of creation. We are your children, a holy nation, Israel. You're higher than any mountain, wider than any ocean, deeper than any valley. You're higher than any mountain, wider than any sea, deeper than any valley. Your name is Ahaya, the God of creation. We are your children, a holy nation. Your name is Ahaya, the God of salvation. We are your children, holy nation, Israel. In your time, in your time, you make all things beautiful. In your time, Lord, please show us every day while you're teaching us your way, that you'll do just what you say in your time. In your time. In your time, you make all things beautiful. In your time, Lord, please show us every day while you're teaching us your way, that we'll do just what you say in your time. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Oh, in your time, in your time, you make all things beautiful in your time. Lord, please show us every day while you're teaching us your way, that we'll do just what you say in your time. Amen.
Amen.
God has a timing on everything, in God's time. And you know what? When you follow God's time, everything turns out perfect and beautiful.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
When you follow his time, in his time. Because some of us are not waiting for his time. We're going ahead of God.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't go when you, I find that when you wait on God, you can't beat what God does in mm-hmm. his time. Amen.
Amen.
So
amen.
If you're out there and you are trying to get ahead of God and go ahead of him with his timing, wait on God. If he says wait, wait.
Yes.
Don't go ahead of him.
Amen.
And you'll be the better off. Amen. Things
Amen.
Will turn out better. It'll not work if you run ahead of God, because he's busy setting up stuff.
Yes.
Setting up things. Amen.
Amen.
So right now I'm going to say this short prayer before I go into this lesson today or this word today. Amen.
Praise God.
And you can get your pens, your papers, your pads out, if you your Bible, if you choose to do so. Amen. Father God, I just thank you, thank you, thank you for giving me another opportunity to speak a word into your people's lives today, Father God, to help them to be better, Father God. Because the enemy comes to steal. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But you came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And you're very clear in your training, Father God, training us to follow you and not the enemy. And that's what we want to do. We want to follow you, Father God, and not the enemy. Amen. Mm-hmm. And you're really clear in your word, Father God. All we have to do is read it and understand it. Amen.
Amen.
And we thank you, Father God, for any teacher that you bring us, Father God, for the perfecting of the saints and the work of the ministry. Amen. So as I go forth today, Father God, I ask you to protect that word as it goes in your spirit, and may it be all of you and none of me. In the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So today I'm still in the Untouchables. I was in the Untouchables last week and the week before, but I'm still in that. And I'm coming from John chapter 3, verses 3 to 10. That's John chapter 3, verses 3 to 10. I'm going to read it again. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? You see? Mm-hmm. So Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a teacher.
Yes.
And Jesus was asking him, he said, well, you should be knowing these things, you know, because you're teaching, you're teaching things of the Spirit, but you don't know. You should know. I mean, how can you teach others if you don't know? You know, and that's a lesson for us too. If we don't know, how can you teach somebody else?
Amen.
It's like the blind leading the blind, and both of you will fall into a ditch. See?
True.
So that's what he was telling Nicodemus. Amen.
Amen.
So right now we're going to... One second. We're going to John chapter 4. We talked about Nicodemus, and now we're going into the Samaritan woman. This is John chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. You pick the story up of Yeshaya, Christ. His name is Yeshaya, where he left Judea and returned to Galilee. And in verse 4 says that he had to go through Samaria on the way. He eventually came to a Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son, Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus tired from the long walk. You see, in those days, there was no bikes. I know you heard this before. This is really funny. There was no bikes. There was no cars. There was no buses. There was no trains or taxi cabs. They didn't have the convenience that we have today. While we're talking about Yeshaya,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have to really think about that. They didn't have the convenience like we have today. So
yes.
He was walking with sandals on in the dirt. They didn't have no paved roads.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
So Yeshaya could not call a cab, and so he was tired, and he was wearily, he wearily sat down beside the well. See? He was tired. He went there for a purpose, but he was tired.
Yes.
So about noon time, as he sat waiting, you know, he had sat waiting, but he came to minister to one that was lost. You see, he came to minister. You have to remember that Yeshaya was God incarnate, and he knows and sees and hears all things. Amen?
Amen.
He knew it. And not only that, he was with the Holy Spirit, because when he was at the Jordan River, the Holy Spirit alighted on him.
Yes.
You see? So when you have the Holy Spirit, you begin to know things that you wouldn't normally know. Because the Holy Spirit opens up your eyes to a lot of things.
Amen.
And so as he sat wearily waiting for this Samaritan woman who was a nobody. She was uneducated, immoral. She was worldly. You see? So he was waiting for her to come to this well. So in verse 7 of John 4, soon the Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Yeshaya said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone into the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised at him and refused to have anything. She was surprised at him, you see, because Jews usually don't have anything to do with the Samaritans.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They usually don't have nothing to do. But he asked her for a drink of water.
Right.
But Christ, he was not surprised by this encounter. He was there for a purpose. He had a divine purpose. So she said to Yeshaya, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?"
Mm-hmm.
In verse 10, Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water, and it would be far, far more greater than the water you are drawing out of the well. But, sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said, "and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons enjoyed and his animals?" Yeshaya loved the Samaritan woman without prejudice. You know, like prejudices some of us have today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeshaya did not look at people with the same eyes that we do. And if he did, no one would be able to be saved. You see?
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't prejudiced. And he knew who created everything and everybody. He wasn't prejudiced. And so he offered her the same gospel he had offered Nicodemus. Amen.
Amen.
In verse 13, Yeshaya replied, "Anyone who drinks the water I give will never ever be thirsty again. In other words, you will be so satisfied that you won't want for anything else. And it becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within you, giving you eternal life. It's so satisfying and refreshing because it awakens you by pulling you from the jaws of death to eternal life. And darkness to light." Amen.
Amen.
"The blinders are taken off of your eyes, and now you can see."
Yes.
In verse 15, the Samaritan woman says, "Please, sir, give me this water. Then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." She didn't know that this water was of the Spirit. Amen. This
Amen.
Water was of the Spirit. Yeshaya says to her, "Go and get your husband." The woman replied, "I don't have a husband." She didn't know who she was talking to. She was talking to God's only begotten Son, the Son of Man, who knew all things. And so he
Amen.
Easily detected that she was lying. Yeshaya said, "You're right. You don't have a husband, for you had five husbands. And the one you have now, you're not married to. You're not even married to. And you're living with him now. So you certainly spoke the truth about your having a husband because you haven't married." Isn't this like a lot of us today? We act like we are married to the man or woman that we live with, but actually we are not married. And this is both in and outside of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
One thing, when you're in the Lord, when you're in Christ,
yes,
God expects order. Amen. He expects order. We think that, because we're under grace, that we can do anything we like, but it's not true. God is a God of order. Amen. Because
Amen.
when Jesus came and gave his life on the cross, he came to fulfill the law. He didn't come
yes.
to do away with the law. He came to fulfill it. He came to fulfill that law. And he was actually showing us how to keep the law.
Mm-hmm.
See, a lot of times we're taught that we don't have to keep the law, and that we because the law was done away with, but the law was not done away with. The law was not done away with. Without law, there is no order. There is no order without law. Amen?
Amen.
Imagine, and if we can keep all these thousands of laws out here, if we are out here in the world, why
yes.
cannot we keep God's law?
Amen.
See, he has law in place, but if you can't keep the law, then there's grace.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yes.
But there has to be law and order. Otherwise, God is not pleased. And you can't go back to him over and over again for the same sin, and you're committing the same thing over and over again, and you go back to him, and I'm sorry, and, you know, he keeps listening after a while, but God is long-suffering, but after a while, we get tired of that. You know what I'm saying? You're not making a turnaround, because repentance is making a turnaround.
That's right.
See? So God is a God of law and order. Amen. And if you're not keeping his law, he doesn't like that. He doesn't like that at all. He expects us to be, I mean, like I said, there's thousands of laws out here. It's funny, in the world, you abide by all these laws in the world, and you never think about it. You don't never think about how many laws you're abiding by, and you keep them, or you pay the penalty. Amen?
Amen.
But God don't have as much laws as they have in the world. He don't have as much law. And yet we feel like we can't keep God's law. They tried to do away with God's law because they don't want to change their lifestyle. There's a lot of people don't want to change their lifestyle. That's why they try to ignore the law, God's law.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not done away with. His law is not done away with. Amen? His
Amen.
Law is not done away with. So that's something to keep in mind. Amen.
Amen.
So in verse 19, the woman says, "Sir, you must be a prophet." In verse 25, she says, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." In verse 26, it says, "Then Christ told her, 'I am the Messiah.' Just then his disciples came back, and they were shocked to find him talking to her. But none of them had the nerve to ask."
Mm-hmm.
Do you see the attitude they had towards her?
Mm-hmm.
To them,
yes.
She was unclean. They looked on her as inferior, a woman of the world. Immoral and a nobody. She was an untouchable. Amen.
Amen.
The Samaritan woman found a man she could trust in, who was Yeshaya. To answer the questions about God Most High that she had all wanted to know about all her life, seeking God Most High in her own way. But most importantly, God was seeking her. Amen. Because a lot of times we're seeking after God Most High, but he's seeking after us. That's why a lot of times he puts people in our way, puts pastors in our way, ministers, evangelists. He puts a lot of different people in our way.
Yes.
He knows our hearts, and he's bringing us to himself. Amen.
Amen.
A lot of times we, too, are seeking after God, but we don't know that he is seeking after us. Amen.
Amen.
So in verse 28 of John 4, the Samaritan woman was so excited that she left her water jug beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him.
Mm-hmm.
My conclusion is, you may have been treated like an unperson and untouchable. You need to forgive. You may be treating others as an unperson or untouchable. You need to repent and ask forgiveness. You may see yourself as an unperson and untouchable. Beyond the love and grace of God, don't believe it. It's a lie. Receive God's love. God is love. Receive
right.
it. Amen. God is long-suffering. You know what I'm saying? And
yes.
When you first following after God and everything, God will wink at a whole lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But when you start to know better, God was not winking anymore. Amen.
Amen.
Once you start to know better, you start knowing the word and you start knowing what you should be doing, God is not winking anymore. But he will be, he'll wink and wink and wink, you know, because he knows that you don't know better, or that you're a babe in Christ, or you're thinking about coming in, but you know your life is, you're doing a lot of things, and he's winking at you now.
Yes.
But when you get to know better and you're reading the word and everything, you know what the word says and all that, God is not winking anymore. Amen.
Amen.
I hope you enjoyed this message today. I turn it now back in the hands of Evangelist Hilda.
Amen. Praise be to God. We want to thank Apostle Mother Wiggins for that wonderful word this morning. I think that deserves a hand clap. Praise. Praise be to God. And before we have Apostle Mother Wiggins come back with the call to salvation and benediction, our very own Barbara Amore is going to come with our poetry at this time. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. God bless you, Barbara. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you all doing?
Blessed. Thank you.
Oh, glory to God. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for that message, Mother. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to take a moment to read a poem from my book, The Profundity of God, a spiritual anthology in poetry. And this one is entitled, My Thank You Prayer.
Oh.
Dearest Heavenly Father, for waking me up this morning, Lord, I thank you for making me aware of your being in my life. Lord God, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
for your loving me even when I didn't have sense enough to love myself. Lord, I thank you. For your being with me always and in all ways. Thank you, Lord. When they said I wouldn't make it, Lord, I'm making it with your help. Even though I may not always hear you, I can feel you. And that's when you make me smile. You make me laugh. Sometimes you make me want to dance. Sometimes you make me shout and call out. You cause me to weep happily, rejoicing that you're near, rejoicing that you're in me, on me, over me, under me, all while going through me and being all-encompassing all the time I may be going through. And, Lord, there are times when you are just good because you are just good. Nothing is wrong. Nothing is sad. Nobody's bothering me. I'm not mad. I'm sorry. Nobody's hurting me. I'm not mad. It's just you. Your boundless wisdom and your love. You make me take notice of the things of beauty that surround me. Things I might not notice had I not experienced your presence. Things like rainbows in the sky, beautiful flowers in bloom, a baby's tender, delicate skin, a soft, caring, and gentle touch, the scent in the air after a rain shower, a sweet, loving butterfly kiss on the lips, a deep, hearty laugh, a clean house, a pure heart, and stars, star power. For fruits of the Spirit, and for all these things and more. For gratitude, excuse me, your faithfulness, peace, kindness, love, generosity. I could go on, but not now. So for being who you are, Lord, I thank you for doing me like you do me. Lord, I thank you for life, health, and strength. You are my rock, my sword, my shield, a wheel in the middle of a wheel for things that don't even make sense. Yet knowing that they all come from you, they're heaven sent. Lord, I have to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That was
beautiful. Yeah, absolutely. I was sitting here as Sister Barbara was reading the poetry, and I have my eyes closed, and I'm just visualizing all the things that she's saying, like the butterflies and the range of the smell of the, oh my goodness. It is just awesome.
Isn't he awesome?
Yes.
So sweet. He's so wonderful.
Yes,
thank
he
you
is.
Thank you, Lord, for all the glory.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, and I tell you, God is always, he's always pleased when we talk about him, you know.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And his attributes. He's always pleased about that, you know.
Yes, God.
When we give him the praise, the glory, and the honor. Amen.
God. Hallelujah.
So it was beautiful. That was beautiful.
It was.
Amen.
And I was just not even imagining, but seeing like 5 o'clock this morning when the moon was out and it was so bright and beautiful that it lit my whole bedroom up. And I was saying, like, only God can do something like this.
Oh, God.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm. apologize for that. That's just so at okay. this time, Apostle Mother Wiggins is going to come with the call to salvation and the benediction. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. We're coming to a time now where anybody that's out there that hears the sound of my voice can come into God's kingdom. If you have a heart to come into God's kingdom, to embrace Christ, amen, you have this is your time now, amen. So all you have to do is say this short prayer after me. Just repeat it after me. Today I give you my heart, wash it, and cleanse it.
Today I give you my heart, wash it, and cleanse it.
I repent of my sins, and I ask your forgiveness.
I repent of my sins, and I ask your forgiveness.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I thank you for forgiving me, Lord, and I forgive myself.
I believe you raised your only son, Christ, our Savior, from the dead.
I believe that you raised your only son, Christ, from the dead.
I now take him into my heart.
I now take him into my heart.
And I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
And I confess him as the Lord and Savior over my life.
If there's anyone out there that has said mm-hmm. this short prayer, we are excited about you. I don't know if it's 1, 20, 100. I really don't know. But God knows. He knows who was waiting to come into his kingdom. So we are excited about you. We know that all heaven is rejoicing, and we thank God for you. If you have said this short prayer and you don't have a church home, if the Holy Spirit have came to reside inside of you, the Holy Spirit is the divine teacher. You can ask her, amen, the Holy Spirit is a woman. You can ask the Holy Spirit. You know, to lead you to the right church, and she'll do it. She'll lead you to the right church where you can hear the word and you can have a relationship with God. You'll be able to grow. You'll be able to grow in the word, and then you'll have fellowship with other believers. So, again, we welcome you into the body of Christ. Amen. Praise God. As it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Father of our Lord, Christ our Savior, it is by the great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Yeshua from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for us, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, through our faith, God Most High is protecting us by his power until we receive the salvation which is ready to be revealed on the last days for all to see. So may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another, and let us all say amen.
Amen. Praise God. So as I said this earlier this morning, Pastor Kathy will not be with us. So at this time, I will play a selection, and after the selection, we'll come back with our talk in the sanctuary, so anyone can come up with a subject that we would like to talk about this morning. Amen. So
amen.
After the selection. Amen.
Let me hear the worshiper. Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Every praise
is to our God. matter what you've been through, just know that praise is bringing you out right now. Nobody can get praise but God tonight. Come on, clap them hands.
Amen. Every praise belongs to God. So does anyone?
Song.
Yeah, me too. We sing it every Friday.
That song is beautiful.
Yep.
It is.
Every praise belongs to God. That's beautiful.
Yep. Hezekiah Walker.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
I think he sings that song at every concert that he has. He performs.
Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah. I love to see the videos when the children or the youth choir, when they be singing it and people coming in and joining in. It's such a beautiful thing.
It really is.
Amen. So, anyone have anything that they would like to talk about this morning?
I think Mother said something, and I have something after her.
Okay.
I'm sorry?
What's your topic?
I thought you said
morning,
you had
Mother.
A thought.
Broke. I'm sorry. I'm just standing up right now. I got tired of sitting. What did you say? I'm sorry.
Before we went to the song, you said you had a thought you wanted to discuss.
I said I wanted to have a thought. I did.
Okay, never mind. I have something, and I thought you had said something.
Okay.
Anyway, anybody, well, we want to pray in, even though it's not Pastor Kathy.
Yeah.
Precious and Heavenly Father, once more and again, few of your humble servants assembled to say thank you. God, we thank you for this opportunity to think about and talk about things that are affecting us in the world today, Lord God. We thank you for the topics, the ideas, the conversation, the understanding, the wisdom and knowledge that you imbue unto us, impute unto us. And we are so blessed to have you as our leader and our guide, our Holy Spirit leading us and guiding us in the right way, Father God. So we thank you for all that you've done, all that you do, and all that you're going to do.
Yes,
Lord, we appreciate you so much. If I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. So again, we thank you. We pray that everybody that's affiliated with this radio program is safe and sound, unhurt, unharmed, loved, comforted, and cared for in your precious name. All these blessings we ask. Forgive us of our sins, Father God, those of omission and commission, and continue to be who you are in our lives, Lord, with your unconditional love, your grace, your mercy, your favor, your generosity, your kindness, and just you being you all by yourself, Lord. We thank you so very much. In that matchless name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
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 And
amen.
Beautiful prayer.
God bless you. I just wanted to bring up the subject of the moon the other night. I don't know if anyone got to see the eclipse of the moon November the 19th. They said it was out for about 3.5 hours, one of the longest eclipses so far, not the longest one to ever be or will ever be, but it was one of the longest ones. I think it started around 1 something a.m., and they say it ended about 4:30. But I got a chance to glimpse it because I heard it was going to end at 4. But I got, God woke me up about 5 minutes before, and I went to the door and looked up.
Yeah.
And it was cloudy. They said it might be raining, but it was not raining. It was cloudy.
Yeah.
And at first I didn't see it, and then as the clouds moved away, I could see like a crescent of the moon covered in the majority of a redness, which was the shadow of the earth covering the moon. So, again, it was coming into its fruition. It was about to end. But that was something that they said that's the first one since 2019. And they called it the Beaver Moon, being named after what the Native Americans had. They were raining. Amen.
Oh.
When they saw things in nature, they would name it different things. The one coming in December, I think they call it the Cold Moon. But they've had the Strawberry Moon, the, you know, various kinds of names for the moon. And this one was called, again, the Beaver Moon. For whatever reason that is. So, I just wanted to say it was a beautiful sight. I should have had my binoculars, but I didn't have them, and I'm sure I could have seen it better with a telescope or something. Didn't have it. But it was beautiful, the bit that I did see. And it is on Google, so anyone who wants to look at that. They said captured it. NASA captured it if you didn't get to see it. So you just go over here. I understand, and you're just going to go in and Google the moon eclipse of November 2021, November 2021, and you'll see it. But it was beautiful. Like I said, just a red. That's unusual to see it in the sky, a redness in the sky, which was, again, covering the moon because of the shadow of the earth. So that's the story.
Isn't
and I just wanted to say
that's amazing.
Reflecting back on the poem that I had read about thank you, God, for all that you do, all that your marvelous things in nature that we don't even comprehend. They don't even make sense to us.
So
but if you listen and we hear things that are transpiring beyond our sphere of intelligence, we can take part in some of these wonderful things that God has put out there for us to observe. You know, so I just want to thank you for letting me share that.
Oh, thank you for sharing it, because I was so upset because I didn't get to see it. But I didn't get to see that one. But like I said, God woke me up at 5 o'clock this morning to see the bright, beautiful. I mean, it was beautiful fall. It was like it lit up the bedroom, you know, because I always have my curtains and things open. So I like to see what's outside, if it's raining, snowing or what, you know. And it was so beautiful. I took a picture of it. I don't know if it's going to come out. But I did.
It should.
Come out.
We know what's beautiful.
Yeah.
You know what
I like? Look how awesome my God is.
Oh, yes, yes.
Even when we're sleeping, he's doing wonderful things.
Yes.
Well, you know, when you're talking about the moon, I was remembering when I was young, you know, I used to be hanging out with my friends at night.
Uh-huh.
You always be looking at the moon, and you're talking about the man in the moon.
Yes.
You could be talking about the man in the moon thing, you know? I was listening to Sister Barbara talking about binoculars, and that's what I used to use binoculars, looking at the sky. I had forgotten about it, as she mentioned it, you know?
And also, Mother, like, if you're in the south, and when the moon is full and bright like that, Oh, my gosh. You could just sit out there all night on the porch just staring at
mm-hmm.
it.
Yeah. Yep. And you know something? They have a place, I think, where the moon looks like it's on the water or something like that. You know, area,
wow.
like a place where there's water and everything. But it looks
yes.
like the moon is, when it,
it's
when
sitting
it comes
on the
up,
water.
It's coming up from the water, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
I only
big.
Saw that on the TV. I never saw it in, like, you know, in person
no,
at
I
a lake or
it,
something.
But I just saw it. I've seen it, you know, like in a video or something like that. They
uh-huh.
show you moon in certain places. I guess it's because different areas.
Yeah.
You know, the Earth is in at different areas. Things look different in different areas of the Earth. You know, like even
it
the moon
depends
looks different.
On your position. I
yeah.
mean, if you happen to be on a boat or a ship
mm-hmm.
at a particular time of day or night, you can observe that for yourself.
Yes.
You have to be awake. And when the moon is setting or rising or whatever,
mm-hmm.
you can see that for yourself. You just have to know,
mm-hmm.
you know, which direction. And if you don't, you turn around and you see. Hopefully it's a full moon. And you can
yes.
get that beautiful vision for yourself. It's not strange. I mean, it happens, you know, whenever there's a full moon, you can do that. But
mm-hmm.
as you say, you need to be near some water so that you can take in that full awesomeness that you're speaking about, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can do that. I was on a boat one time. We went to a ride around Manhattan for
uh-huh.
It was an all-white party with one of the churches. Everybody had to wear white.
Mm-hmm.
And I was astonished when we came. It was getting dark. Past the Statue of Liberty, it was all lit
mm-hmm.
up. That I've
oh,
seen
wow.
it, you know, from wherever the shore, the even been in it, but to
mm-hmm.
see it from the water with all the light surrounding it. And the darkness about, you know, the atmosphere.
Yeah.
It was
mm-hmm.
just breathtaking, really. And I
took,
I took the pictures of it, you know.
Ooh.
But it's things that we don't, we take them for granted. We don't appreciate them often enough because, Statue of Liberty, we've seen that a thousand times, you know. Don't want to walk up all those steps to the crown and all of that. But it's a beautiful thing.
It
and
is.
I just want to throw this in, too, that do you know where the Statue of Liberty was presented to us from? Who gave us that?
It was France.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
yeah, they gave the Statue of Liberty.
And the first one that they gave us was black. Yes, and America
yeah,
would not accept
that.
It.
Yeah.
America would not accept it. So
yeah, it was black.
The
I thought that was the one. Oh, they wouldn't accept it?
The sculpture had to redo one, and that's what we have. But the
mm-hmm.
first one was a black woman, and I think she was in chains. I have it
oh,
here. My father gave me the article. But
uh-huh.
America would not accept it. So once they did it as it is now,
mm-hmm.
it was accepted. And I think they said France even has a duplicate of it in a smaller size. I don't know
okay.
where it is, in the museum or somewhere on the wall. I don't know. But it was
probably
just an interesting
so.
Fact that the first one that was made was a black woman.
Wow.
You
know?
Yeah, I heard
yeah.
thought that was the one. The one that was up there now, I thought that was a black woman. I mean,
no,
yeah.
that's not the
I
one. They had to
one.
Make another one.
Mm. Oh. I didn't know that.
Wow. That is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always thought it was just that one. You know, when
mm-hmm.
you're a little kid and you go to the Statue of Liberty, I mean, you don't hardly understand, you know, when they're telling you about all different kinds of things, you know, because you
mm-hmm.
back then, you know, we just was excited
it's
to go.
It's just out of the classroom, really.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
absolutely. yeah,
a
we get to go
trip.
Outside.
right.
But you know what I'm wondering? I'm wondering
if they did accept that statue with the woman in chains, would have been a protest, you know, with the black woman being in chains, you know.
They knew that it would have been a problem. That's why they did not accept it. It probably would have been, you know, because yeah. that was in the days of, I guess, frequent lynchings, right. not saying it had stopped, you know,
exactly.
but that was in the days of frequent lynchings. I don't recall what year. I think it was somewhere in the 1800s. I have to Google that and
mm-hmm.
find out. But whatever it was unacceptable to the president of the United States at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Amen.
Not sure who that was. Let me Google it while we're talking so you guys can go on. I just want to
excuse me.
So what
question, what do you think about the verdict of the young man who was found innocent of all charges for killing those two men and critically?
I didn't see it because I've been so busy with other things. I haven't been able to watch it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened?
No, they found him innocent of all charges.
Mm-hmm. He killed two people.
You remember the riot in I think it's Missouri or Minnesota, one of those places. And the young 17-year-old at the time came to the riot with a rifle.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't remember, you know. Is that
her? Yeah, and. And he shot, he killed two guys, and then the third one, he critically injured him. And so.
Oh, I think I remember that. I think I do remember that.
Yes.
He just came to the, I don't know if he was against something.
He came to the, whatever the protest that they were protesting, he came to it with a rifle. Now, if you're coming to a protest, why do you feel that you should bring a rifle or weapon to the protest if it's a peaceful protest? And then after a while, you know, everything starts off peaceful and then it end up into something different.
That was Kenosha. Wisconsin, I believe.
Okay.
And his brother told him to come. His brother told him to come and bring his AR-15 rifle.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why he came. It was in the midst of a protest.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was when Blake was shot in the back. I'm not positive. Jacob Blake was shot in the back seven times by the police. I think that was the particular protest. And people were just rioting. They were destroying, you know, things.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one comes, you know, they had a curfew. He was out past curfew. He shot two white men. He shot a third one. And third one, you know, is still alive, praise God. But the other two died. He shot one four times, like at close range. But you could see they showed the tape. You could see the victim lunging at him. So, okay, and he said he was fearful for his life, that if the guy had got the nose of the rifle, he might have turned it around and used it on him. But again, why you got to kill him? You didn't have to shoot him four times. Four times? And the other one, I forgot what his situation was, but he got shot and killed also. But the judge, you missed it, Mother, when they had him on the witness stand defending himself. He came and started crying.
Yeah.
And started cross-examining him. He was squeezing his eyes like he was trying to make the tears come out.
Thank you.
And he's 18 years old. I mean, he looks like a baby, really.
Yes.
But he came to a city, a state that's not even his own. I think they said 150 miles away he lived. came and killed people. And when the cops saw him again after curfew with the rifle, you know what they said to him, mother?
Go home.
Yep. Go home. Get off the street. Go home. And he had already shot three people and killed two. So
right.
That
and
just
so
shows you.
They didn't put him in jail or nothing, right?
They told him to go home. That's what they did.
Wow,
they told him to go home.
You.
So that shows you the justice in our society.
Yes.
You know, it's unjust because had it been a black man with a rifle walking down the street,
absolutely.
You know good well he'd have been under the jail. And you, more than likely,
under the jail, he would have been dead.
More than likely, they would have shot him on the spot
for
carrying a gun. And being out after curfew. I think they had a 10 p.m. curfew. You know,
they might
so
have shot him on
justice
the spot,
is
like
not justice. Justice is not justice. We don't have equity in our justice system.
We don't.
We do not have equity. So I didn't get to Google. I had to get back in on this conversation. But
I hear you.
Okay.
She's free for now. But I understand, too, that they had 500, they had 500 guards, National Guards, standing by in anticipation of a protest. There was no protest right away, but I saw as I was strolling my phone that they did break windows and they rioted because of the unfair decision. But the thing is, they still have a civil court case that they can bring against him.
Yeah.
All right. So he's not free yet. But
nope,
that's funny how he got out of all three charges. I think he had five counts against him. All three deaths, all two deaths and one injury. Scot-free.
Yeah,
scot-free. So unless there's a civil case brought against him, you know, and what they said too is that they're going to leave Wisconsin. Well, I guess they will leave Wisconsin.
Of course they will.
And get a fresh start. So, but see, in that case, all they got to do is move. Unless somebody recognizes him somewhere else, you know, his life can start again. And those poor, innocent people that got killed, their life is over.
It's over.
Wow.
Yeah. But the thing is, did you see the look on his lawyers' faces? It's like they couldn't believe that this kid was found innocent. They didn't jump up for joy. They didn't
on the prosecutor. Wait, hold it. Which face? You talking about the prosecutors or the defendants?
The defendants.
The one who was defending him couldn't believe it either?
Right. They stood there like they were in shock.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I didn't
their
see
faces,
that. Yeah.
Wow. Look at that, when you see it again and you look at their faces look like they're in shock. It's like,
I got you.
Really? Yes. Yeah, you could leave your hometown to come to another town to kill two people and injure a third person, and you could get off scot-free because what it was. And then on top of that, he had the choice to pick the jury for his own trial. Who does that?
The defendants, the prosecutors did that. The prosecutors did that, not him, the prosecutors.
Yep, but he had a say in it, though. And then, you know, the thing that really, 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 this young man, you took the lives of these people, and you sitting here, like, with these crocodile tears, you squeezing your eyes so tight to try to get the tears to fall down. To me, I feel like in my heart that he had no kind of remorse of what he did.
Mm-hmm. He prayed that he's glad he's free.
Exactly.
Glad he's free. What was more?
No, this is when he was on trial. When he was on trial the first time with the crocodile tears. Then the second time after they read the verdict of innocent and he fell down to the floor and he hugged his lawyer and mm-hmm. the lawyer standing there, they looking like, really? It was like they could not believe that this young man was innocent of all five charges. And they when a person be like emotionally breaking down like that, the judge would call a recess. That judge never called a recess. So and to me, I felt like he just allow him to go on performing the way that he was performing. So that was to get the sympathy of the jury.
Of course. Okay,
it
worked. Second, I don't know if it worked or not because there was one black person on the jury.
Well, that one person he had to go
there
with.
One black person on the jury, one black male. So I don't know if it worked or he was coerced or what. But I mean, out of all those charges, something he should have done should have been justified for jail. You know?
Exactly.
But
exactly.
It wasn't.
Nope.
Wow.
That's the system we live in.
So I was just looking at the information on the Statue of Liberty. It
yes.
was first modeled after a Arab woman, they say. And
wow.
France sent it to America to protest the way that people have been enslaved.
Uh-huh.
And again, I didn't check the year. I mean, I didn't check the president at the time, but it was whoever was after Lincoln and probably two more after him in 1886. I'll get that too. But she was originally like a copper color, and because of the rain and the acid rain and all that kind of stuff, because they said it shined like a new penny when it was first
yeah.
put up.
Yes.
But because of the weather conditions and stuff, it's now the beautiful green that we
right.
see.
Yes.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So let
yeah.
me see the president in 1886. But they wouldn't accept it. That's the deal. They would not accept it.
Wow.
Well, that's good to know because I really thought the one up there was made in, as a black woman. You know what I'm saying? They mentioned it. But I had heard it, but I didn't hear nothing about chains or nothing like that. So I assumed that one was there was a black woman there, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know
because
that.
Because a lot of times, you know, we just, some of us, including myself, you know, we don't go on to the history and read the things of, you know, what they put down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, let me just, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, the claim that the United States rejected France's first gift of a Statue of Liberty, which was extended as a tribute to freedom of former black slaves and replaced with the statue that now graces New York Harbor. So that mm-hmm. explains that the one that they had initially proposed was not
yes.
accepted. All right,
mm-hmm.
so that's not like Let's see. I'm trying to see who the president was. But go on. I don't see it. So go on. I'll get back to you.
Okay. So, Mother, you have anything that you want to talk about?
No, I wasn't thinking about anything.
Mm-hmm. But let me tell you this, too. Okay. I'm sorry. The historians have found a series of sketches and clay models done between 1870 and 1871 in which original figure of an Egyptian woman became Roman and Greek. One model shows broken chains at the woman's feet, another broken chain in her left hand. That was changed to show only the broken chain at her feet. So the classical images of liberty are often depicted
in a female form, and the statue was modeled after Libertas, the Roman goddess of liberty. The Roman version is frequently depicted wearing a Phrygian, I know I'm mispronouncing that, cap, traditionally worn by freed Roman slaves. So even in that, it's showing some sort of slavery. The crown that she wore was letting it quietly, you know, show something about slavery. So President Lincoln saw about abolition not only as a way to eliminate immorality, but also as a way to protest repressive tendencies in France. So to abolish slavery was that, that way.
Wow.
I'm still looking to see who the president was, but it wasn't Lincoln. He was dead. Go on. Y'all can go on. I'm just scrolling through.
Keep strolling. We're getting a history lesson today.
I know. Okay. Regarding the issue of whether a black woman was the original model for the statue, report says the temporal proximity and aesthetic overlap between Bartholdi's Egyptian proposal and the Statue of Liberty project and the preliminary nature of the statue's study models makes it impossible to rule out an 1871 Liberty model that has design origins in Bartholdi's drawings of black Egyptian women in 1856. So let me just go in and try to get the president. I'm going to leave it alone for now. You guys can kind of research that on your own if you want to.
Okay.
The president.
Yeah. So what do you think about all the crime that's going on in the city nowadays? Anybody?
About me?
Anyone? You, me, Sister Barbara,
I've been
whoever's
so busy
on.
With other things, honest to God, I haven't watched the news hardly.
You
got to
start watching the news, madam. I mean, I don't know if
I know, but I
don't know why you don't watch it.
That's more important than that. That's why I don't.
You don't have to sit down and watch it. You can turn it on and listen to it.
I look at it a little. I do.
Not enough, apparently.
Yeah,
because, I mean, the crime rate and everything has went up tremendously. You know, since the pandemic and stuff, like nowadays, like as soon as you walk into your house, you know, it's only by the grace of God that you make it back in your house. And no sooner than you get in and you turn on the news to hear what went on in the different boroughs and things. And all you hear is, right in your own neighborhood, two people or three people just got shot. And you be like, what? I just walked in the house. I just left that neighborhood.
Grover Cleveland was president in 1886.
Oh, okay. Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Oh, okay. So he refused the first one?
Well, I have to look at that more. But whoever was in charge of accepting that.
Right. Like even like my sister dropped me home the other night, and no sooner than she parked her car and walked in, got safely in her building, in her home, and she texted me to let me know that she's home. And soon as, next thing you know, it came flashed over the news that someone got shot right there on 120th Street and First Avenue.
Oh, okay.
And she had just parked her car, walked through the walkway, and went into her building, and then, bam. Then again, maybe about an hour or two later, another person got shot. In the same neighborhood, but one on First Avenue, the other one was on Lexington Avenue. And then the saddest one was that the lady in 116, I think it was. But anyway, on 7th Avenue, and she and her two children, the husband was at work, and she was in the apartment with her two children. Her daughter was, I think they said her daughter was 10 years old, and the son was 6 weeks old, and she died in the fire.
But the children,
they survived. But then they said that, you know, right now they're investigating the fire because they couldn't understand how the fire started. But the thing is that this is, we're going into the holiday season, and we know around this time of the year we have a lot of death, a lot of fires and things. Why? Because people burn candles and they leave the candles unattended, you know? And sometimes if you have pets, they'll run and they'll knock it over, especially when it depends on where you have it. So you got to be very careful of when you're burning these candles to make sure that, I know a lot of people, you know, use the candles for religious purposes, but even still, you have to watch those
candles. You have to be
candles.
Very careful.
Especially especially like if you have the windows open for you know, because sometimes the house is too hot and you crack the windows, but if it's breezy outside, you still got to watch those candles.
I like candles. I like them, right? Usually around Christmas, I would have liked to put a candle in the window, you know. Like a candle's in the window. So I used to order candles, but but these candles, you don't put a match to it. It lights up.
Exactly. That's my point. Buy those type of candles and light them up. But see, most of the time we like these scented candles because they're like air fresheners. So
I know,
when you light
them, they give off a smell.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm, I understand.
Yeah. So understand. But even though, I mean, like, you can't sit them down on the floor next to curtains or anything that's flammable. You still have to be very careful with those things. But, I mean, like, the husband, the wife managed to call him at work, and he left and he came home. But by the time he got there, you know, the apartment was engulfed in smoke and the door was open. But she couldn't see how to get
come
to
out.
The door because that's how thick the smoke was. And so the firemen managed to get into the apartment, but, you know, they revived the children, but the wife died.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what they
and the baby
you.
Was only
went...
6 weeks old. She told the husband that she couldn't get up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I heard that she told her husband that she couldn't breathe. They couldn't get out.
Yeah. Right.
Well,
go ahead, Mother.
I used to get instructions on, you know, if you have a fire in your house, one of the things they tell you is to get down on the floor.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I don't know if you get above the smoke or what happens there. I don't remember now.
If you get down on your knees,
below
you're getting below the smoke, not above.
Right, because it rises.
They
gave us those classes at work. You know, they every summer they used to bring the fire department, and they would put the smoking thing and show you how to crawl on your belly to find your way. But you have a wet cloth or something over your nose and thing.
Because I saw instructions like that, but I didn't go to a class. They you know, somebody had given me those instructions. So I had kept mm-hmm. them, you know, because a lot of times when you have a fire, you just get, you get so panicky that you don't.
Yes.
That's what it is you get panicky, and maybe you might even remember that you should get on your knees and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that, you know.
Exactly.
I experienced a fire one time where I lived at. There was a fire next door to me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the funniest thing is that we were so panicky about this fire. We was on the second or third floor.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the apartment next door to me. It was a fire going on in there, right? There was a girl in there, but she looked like she wanted to get into something, a project or something. I think she set the fire herself. She didn't have much furniture. She just had a thing on the floor, right?
Oh,
but anyway, when
goodness.
I looked into the apartment was full of fire, and she was yelling, "Fire, fire." So
mm-hmm.
me and my companion and my children, we ran out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And the funniest thing is, while we're running up down the stairs, the fireman was running up the stairs.
Yes.
You understand?
Always.
But listen to this.
Uh-huh.
So my daughter, when we got downstairs, my children were small then. My mm-hmm. daughter started yelling. We forgot the cat.
Oh no!
Forgot
she
the cat.
Wanted you to go
so
back up and get
was
the cat.
Crying about the cat, so we ran upstairs to get the cat. You know. And but after everything was over, right? I realized.
Yeah.
I said, you know, we forgot that we had a fire escape.
Was
running down the stairs. I mean, we forgot that the fire escape was there. Now,
yeah.
if you mm-hmm. run down the stairs, you know what I mean? We
mm-hmm.
maybe we remember that the fire escape was there, but we actually, in our panic and everything, we forgot
right.
about the fire escape.
And
you really did.
You do.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, you
the
know,
the
main
line
of learn
is to get out.
Yep, and my kitchen got burnt.
Oh, no.
My kitchen, yep. The firemen broke out all the windows in my kitchen.
Oh, man.
And
yeah,
my kitchen was next door to the place where her apartment is, with, you know, it's like a kind of a not a big apartment house, but a small apartment house. And
uh-huh.
her apartment was right next door, kind of next door to my apartment. So all the walls going into her apartment was burnt out from my kitchen, in my kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
It was just... you know, and fire, you know how fire looks with, and then
yeah,
by the time
the
firemen,
and everything.
Yep, and by the time the firemen finished chopping up everything.
mm-hmm. They
it
can
was a
destroy
mess.
Your apartment, though. Trust and believe,
mm-hmm.
they'll destroy your house in a minute.
Yep.
Because that happened to
out.
Me. Yeah, my neighbor across the hall from me had a fire in his apartment, and the firemen
mm-hmm.
came, and they were busting my door down, and I'm standing there telling them, wait, let me open the door. And he
I remember
just,
that.
Yeah, talking about he didn't hear me. How you not can hear me if I'm screaming at you, wait? I thought you was in distress. Do I look like I'm in distress? I'm in distress because you broke my door down.
Mm. Wasn't it across the hall, Evangelist Hilda? It wasn't.
Yes,
it was
right
across the hall.
From you. Yeah. You know that the fire is contained in that one apartment. It only
mm-hmm.
spreads if you open up the door. So
mm-hmm.
as long as your door is thin. All you got to do is put, you know, towers or something under the door so the smoke don't come inside. He thought I was good. I had a lot of smoke in my apartment. Do it look like I got smoke in here and I got all the windows and things open?
Yeah,
but
well,
he was a young guy and he probably was just starting out. So they broke
was,
it down, the door, the lock and everything on the door. And I had just paid $300 and some for the lock.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
And he probably thought he was rescuing somebody.
Exactly.
You know, behind the door. I think he probably pictured you with all the smoke. He said she probably is out. So he thought he was rescuing you.
Oh, my goodness. But all I could do was just stand there and let him finish breaking the door open. That's all I could do. And I told him, I am not
going to do this. 7331.
Huh? Yeah. So anyway,
before we go, I just want to say that they are partial to animals. They rescue cats and dogs and people. So when mother said they had left the daughter said they left a cat. Yeah, they go out of their way to find and rescue
animals. Yes.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, we didn't think of that in that day, you know what I mean? And my daughter was and she's down there screaming for the cat, you know what I mean? It was,
yeah,
she ran back upstairs to look for the cat, you know?
A lot of people lose their life by going back for the animal.
Mm-hmm. Or for another human being.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, you don't be thinking sometimes. You know what I mean? You really don't, you know.
Right.
I've heard of a man will run into the house to rescue his wife, and he loses his life, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Trying to rescue somebody else, you know. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that, you remember when people used to jump out of the window into something and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Sometimes you jump out the window because there's a fire and ain't nothing there. You know what I mean? But there's such a panic. They don't want to get burned, so they just jump out the window.
Nothing there to catch them. But, you know, I think they'd rather die of broken bones than to get their body burned.
Yeah.
That's why they do that.
That's true. A lot of people think, you know, like, my heart goes out to all those people who jumped out of the windows to their
World
death. Yes.
You're talking about the World Trade Center.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
All you could see was, people falling out. But sometimes, you know, before you hit the ground, the breath of life is already taken from you, so it's just the shell of the body that is falling because God has already done, took the breath of life from you. So, just thinking about it, you know, it really brings chills to you.
Loose
pimples and things, like all those people lost their lives for what? Somebody just hate America or hate Americans. Yeah. People are just so wicked, malice in their heart.
That was that too, but it was also for revenge. Mm-hmm. America had done something to them.
Exactly.
Okay? So not just because they hate us, because somebody had done something to their people.
Right. That's why they hate us, because America is always putting her nose where it don't belong. Sometimes
trying to help.
Yeah.
Trying to help.
Yeah. And then sometimes when you try to help, it turn on you. But not everybody wants our help. Let's put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody. But anyway, ladies, it was a beautiful, beautiful discussion this morning. Thank you all for staying and participating in our talk in the sanctuary. Hopefully, Pastor Kathy will be back with us next week. And God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
God bless you all.
You too.
Have a happy Thanksgiving if I don't speak to Mother before.
Yes, Mother.
Unless she comes on Tuesday, I won't speak to you. So have a happy Thanksgiving. A safe one,
okay? Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're so welcome. God bless
you. And
you
too. You'll have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Mother.
Thank
you
so much.
Too.
All
God bless you. And
God bless you too. Love you all.
Love you.
Love y'all. And on that note, we are going to leave out on all belongs to you. Hugs and kisses, amen. Everybody.
Hugs and kisses.
Yes.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Belongs to you. Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.
Bye.